Oh, what a glorious summer afternoon across the Rockies. Dan and Craig, 630 KHW. One of the reasons we love this show so much is, man, it just tells you what folks care about, what they're thinking about. I mean, we come up with our topics. We work hard at it. We get a lot of hits. We get our share of misses. But you know when you touch on something like, we thought this Michael Bennett thing, maybe 5 minutes. But holy cow, we could jam the show for maybe 2 days on it. There are intense feelings out there about Michael Bennett. We haven't had a positive call yet. 303-713-8255, the number. Let's go to the VIP line. Perfect guy to pull into this conversation is David Kopel from the Independence Institute. Now, the whole reason we got off on Bennett is we were talking about this Thune Amendment, and you know, this would have allowed folks to carry their concealed weapons across state lines. And, you know, David, of course, is a master when it comes to the fine points and details of gun rights legislation, among other things, so he can get us into that nitty gritty. But the Thune Amendment went down today. It was voted down, but Michael Bennett and Mark Udall voted for it. David, welcome back to 630 KHW.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, what's your take on the Udall-Bennett votes?
I think it was great. Proud to be represented by them, and it was a common sense vote that would have helped the people of Colorado and improved public safety. And I got to say, you know, you've got 58 votes. It passed. It won 58-39. Now Charles Schumer was running a filibuster, so it had to get to 60, and it didn't quite get to the. Even though it got a large majority, it wasn't quite enough to beat a filibuster. But I think the idea is shown that there's a tremendous amount of bipartisan support. You know, people like Russ Feingold, the Democratic civil libertarian senator from Wisconsin, voted for it. So I think we'll. We'll certainly see this idea continue to be discussed, and it will one day be the law of the land, you know, perhaps with some modifications and improvements, which is a common thing in the legislative process.
David, we've suggested it might have been politics that Colorado, a state where there are a lot of people who like guns, maybe this was politically expedient for Bennett and Udall, because if I would have had to wager this morning, I would have bet they'd go the other way, the way I would have voted.
Well, the people in their infinite wisdom did selected Udall rather than you or me to represent them in the legislature.
Is Udall a gun lover? Did I miss something?
No, he's not a gun lover, and I would say he's certainly an outdoors lover. And which gives him, I think, some understanding of people who enjoy the outdoor sports, including hunting. As he wrote to me after the Parker decision, which was what became eventually District of Columbia versus Heller, that case really made him rethink his whole approach to the issue of really acknowledging that it really is an individual right. And he's a good guy on civil liberties. You know, he was one of the minority in Congress who had the courage to vote correctly, in my view, against the so-called Patriot Act because of all the civil liberties violations in that. So I think he's, you know, certainly in the Senate, he's got a perfect voting record on Second Amendment issues so far.
And, well, David, I'll give you him. That. And when we talk about political expediency, Mark Udall just won a 6-year term. It's not like he's running next November or anything like that. So I'll take Mark Udall in that way. What do you know about Michael Bennett? Is he an NRA guy?
No, not that I know. But, you know, there's plenty of people who voted for this who are not at all NRA guys.
Well, how did it lose then?
Well, you know, 58-39, you know, they won it by almost 20 votes, but you need 60 to beat it. You know, they didn't quite get to that level. Obviously,
so it's 58 who voted in favor of John Thune, and so it lost with 38 against?
Is 39 against. Yeah.
39
and,
against.
And they had to get to 60 to beat Schumer's filibuster.
David, did the White House take a position on it?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
You know, Obama has said he wants a national ban on concealed carry.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't consider that they would be supportive.
Right. Don't you think that the Democrats' game here was to ensure defeat by pursuing the filibuster and then give political cover to Democratic senators whose votes they could afford to give up, you know, people like Bennett and Udall?
You know, you're reading Harry Reid's mind, and I honestly don't know the answer.
No, I understand. But, David,
I'm not sure that Harry Reid you know, Harry Reid has a pretty good record on the issue, including back to the time when he was minority leader. I mean, he was really one of the major guys who helped pass the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which put an end to these abusive lawsuits against firearms manufacturers and gun stores.
Well, let me just try to understand it, because David Koppel is so knowledgeable about gun rights. In fact, he just testified at the Sonia Sotomayor hearing, and maybe we'll get around to that, but I want to stick with this bill and the topic. As I understand it, under Thune's bill, if you have a concealed carry permit from your home state, you could carry it anywhere in the United States.
Into another state that also issues carry permits. So you would not be able to carry in Wisconsin,
right,
and Illinois.
So they don't
have any procedure to issue permits.
But what's the loosest state? Isn't there some state where you can just go in and say, I want a concealed weapon, and they'll essentially give it to you?
No.
The loosest state? Tell me.
I don't know how you
the easiest to get a concealed carry permit.
Every state requires you to pay a license and to pay a fee, to fill out a form, to talk about your criminal records. I mean, I have probably a half dozen permits from around the country from different states, and every single one of them, including Florida, has required me to get fingerprinted.
Now, David, right now there are 23 states, according to 9 News, that issue concealed weapons permits that Colorado does not recognize. Why is Colorado not recognizing those?
Well, a lot of states have done something called reciprocity, which is what we have completely for driver's licenses in this country, and are moving in that direction for handgun permits. So, for example, if you have a Kansas handgun permit, Colorado and Kansas enter into an agreement that your Colorado permit can be used in Kansas, and if you're a guy from Kansas, your Kansas permit can be used in Colorado. The real problem that necessitated the Thune Amendment was not, you know, the pace at which states like Colorado and Kansas are working out their reciprocity. It's you've got some jurisdictions like New York State that absolutely will not, under any circumstances, they won't issue to New Yorkers, and they won't do reciprocity agreements. So you may have, and this is the case of actually Bach versus Pataki, which came up in New York a few years ago, you have somebody who frequently travels to New York, who could pass any possible kind of background check, who in fact has been issued carry permits by his home state and by other states, is a good citizen and can show actually particular needs for protection while he travels in New York State, and New York State just goes, to heck with you, we will not recognize your out-of-state permit with reciprocity, nor will we even allow you a procedure to apply for a permit where in New York they could look at you and decide if you need a permit and if you're a good guy. That's really the problem. And, you know, Congress, among other things, has the power under our Constitution, the interstate commerce power, and as well as Section 5 of the 14th Amendment, to deal with states which create artificial barriers and impediments to interstate travel. It's what was one of the basis for their enacting the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which says if you're, say, the Heart of Atlanta motel and you don't want to serve black people who are traveling through Atlanta, well, that's messing up interstate commerce. It makes it hard for somebody who lives in Pennsylvania to go to Florida if they can't get a hotel room in Atlanta. And Congress said no discrimination in that case. Similar kind of thing here, saying if you're going to issue concealed carry permits to New Yorkers, as they do in New York, well, don't make it totally impossible for some guy from out of state to be able to protect himself or herself when she's traveling.
No, it makes sense. Now, David, for the folks who aren't familiar with Colorado's law, before Colorado went concealed carry, there were, you know, all of these arguments that, boy, if you allow that, then it's just going to be the Wild West, you know, on the 16th Street Mall, and everybody's going to be shooting everybody every time somebody looks at it as somebody the wrong way. But tell folks how it's really worked in Colorado since concealed carry.
Well, it's worked great. In Colorado's a number, like a lot of states, requires